Hey, it's Jake, and welcome to the Setlist Podcast. This week on the show, we have Allison Mahal, and we're here to talk about her new album, Me Now. We're also joined by Sam Roller and Van Isaacson, who helped produce the album. It was really cool getting to talk with all three people who were so influential on the album. And sometimes these things can be a little bit tricky when you have more than one person remotely. I think it's tough when you have more than one person anytime, but it gets exacerbated by people not being able to see each other's faces and whatnot. But these guys were total pros, left their egos at the door, which always helps, and gave space for everybody to talk. So it was a great conversation, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So without any further ado, this is Allison Mahal, Van Isaacson, and Sam Roller.
So Sam, sorry, are you in the city? Are you in New York City right now?
I am in New York City. Yeah. My girlfriend lives up here and we just moved her into her new apartment. So I'm up here for a little bit and, just kind of hanging out, working and watching it snow.
Yeah, man, too bad. There's a pandemic going on. I could have met you. I'm only a couple hours away. We could have been in person. Van and Allison could have been in person. Yeah.
Shame about that pandemic thing.
I know, man. It gets you every time. and then Van and Allison, you guys are in Nashville, right?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Yep, we're in a Van's music studio right now, his home studio. It's looking very good this morning, Van. Super clean in here.
Thank you. I do my best.
Nice. So,
is that really gross smell gone? Do you guys get that like, nasty smell out, Van?
I think it was just Van himself.
Yeah, I took a shower. It's all good.
Usually that cures it. So, Allison, I know that when you started your debut album, Me Now, it was started at, where was it? Ocean Way Recording Studio?
Yeah, it started there. I had no idea that this EP was going to be the EP it turned out to be until honestly like July 2020. Our intention was just to make as much music as possible when we started. We started recording at Ocean Way probably June of 2019. So I was fresh out of college. Van would come down. He was still living in Chicago at the time. And he would come down once a month, I think beginning of like February or March of that year. And we would just demo all these songs that we thought we were making a 12 song album. But we would demo as much as we can in the weekend and then go back to Chicago. And then we started recording all these songs that my friend Hayden, who mixed the whole EP, she was doing a student project at the time. And her student project was to record someone's album. So she asked me, which was amazing.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So we spent the summer basically working at Ocean Way for free, which is so stupid to say out loud. but also at the time I was still figuring out my sound and, you know, Sam produced Mustangs and it showed that was the most produced song that came out of that session this summer at Ocean Way. And then kind of the rest just were like a really tight studio band. So it wasn't until after our experience recording at Ocean Way that we realized, okay, we can take some of these songs apart, start over, and really produce them how we want it to. And so we took our time after the Ocean Way sessions and me, Sam, and Van kind of reproduced the Me Now EP.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when did the three of you start working together? Was it initially just you and Sam doing Mustangs at Ocean Way, or was it all three of you from the jump?
So I met Sam. Sam was at end of 2018, early 2019.
Yeah, and I want to say so.
Yeah, and the first time we worked together, just to see how we worked together, I went over to his home studio in East Nashville, and we basically got the best demo of my life of Mustangs, which is pretty much a replica of what it turned out on the EP. And so it was just us at the time working on Mustangs. And then simultaneously, Van and I were working on this album with Hayden. And once we realized it was, you know, I loved working with Sam and I loved working with Van and that we did want to reproduce this EP, I asked them both if we could start working together right after we finished the Ocean Way session. So I think us three, was it fall of 2019. Yeah, I think it was like a year ago, the fall of 2019, us three started working together.
Awesome. And then so once you left Ocean Way, did you go to Sam's home studio or were you at Van's smelly home studio?
Well, Van was still living in Chicago, so we met at Sam's home studio in East Nashville, but Van would still come like once a month to meet up with us, and we made it work. And then he moved here finally, and then we spent all our time together at Sam's home studio for the most part.
Awesome. So Sam, question for you. Did you have experience producing an album before?
Yeah. So I was a music major at University of Virginia. And that school doesn't necessarily have like a very clear audio engineering path, contrary to like Belmont, for instance, in Nashville. But part of my like, I call it a thesis. It was kind of like a capstone project more. Was to produce my own album, actually. I had written and recorded, I think it was like 7 or 8 songs. And I had gone through the steps of that, and I had also just studied a lot of albums and how to go through that. So by the time it came to the like the point where we were readdressing Allison's songs and kind of taking them from scratch, I had already been there once before, and I knew what it was like to re-edit your own songs and try to put them into a compilation that makes sense and that flows. So I felt like I had a little bit of experience, but I had never really produced someone else's album. So that was a pretty exciting change for me. And it was nice to have someone who really knew what they wanted coming right into it.
Right. Yeah. Having that vision ahead of time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how about for you, Van? Is this something that you had been doing prior or?
Not really. So I came up in Chicago as like an instrumentalist, and that was kind of my thing. And that's kind of how I met Allison. I originally started as her violin player, and then we started doing, gigs, and I was playing guitar and drums for her and whatnot. And we started like doing little demos, for her songs. But I'd certainly never properly produced anything, until we started working with Sam, and he was definitely, a mentor of some sorts. And he really, you know, opened up the field for, you know, production. And that's mainly what I do now. So no, this is pretty much the first project I have produced.
Awesome. Well, I mean, just listening to the EP, like you would never guess that. And I know, Allison, you have like lots of connections as well, working with publications. So everything about the album just seemed very well done and like well produced. So to compliment to your testament to your guys' ability.
Well, thank you for saying so. I think it was kind of a perfect mix because I really like the studio side of things. I like finding good sounds. I like kind of creating a feel for an entire record. I think Van has a really good knack for arrangement and a really good knack for just like interlocking parts. And then obviously, I mean, the songs lend themselves perfectly to a great arrangement. So it all came together. And I think Van and I have worked together on a couple things since, and like we've kind of realized there are points where each of us kind of can step up and fill the other's gaps really well. And I think that naturally was happening early on, and we only have really recently started to identify it.
Yeah, it's cool. Allison, I know you had mentioned in an article that American Songwriter did mm-hmm. that the three of you were able to create an environment where there were no bad ideas, like no ideas were dumb, and it mm-hmm. was able to make the creativity fluid. So yes. What do you attest that to?
Well, I mean, so prior to making this EP with Van and Sam, my recording experience in a studio setting was very limited. Of course, I did Little Blue with a friend from college, Josh Warren, who's an amazing producer in town, and that was an amazing experience. But really this EP, I felt like I was finally using my voice, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted my sound to be, not really getting worked up of figuring out, okay, I need to be strictly pop, or, you know, I'm also influenced by rock. And I was really overwhelmed at the start of this process. And it took a lot of just trial and error personally within to tell myself, be confident. These are your songs. You know them better than anybody else. Share your vision. And I was really overwhelmed starting this process. I have absolutely no idea why, because the minute I started working with Van and Sam, they are like the two most encouraging, just one, friends, easiest to be in a room together. It was, you know, the best to work with them, but also, you know, mentors, like just encouraging me constantly, like to share my ideas. I felt like we were all on the same playing field. I wasn't intimidated that I have, you know, not as much production experience or not as much studio experience as either of them. Also, I feel like because I'm mostly a vocalist and a writer, I was just overwhelmed with the whole experience from the get-go. But it took, I think, throughout the whole entirety of making the Me Now EP to really come into my shell. And it was, I only did so because I had this incredible support system and this team to just make me feel comfortable doing that and like not feel dumb to share an idea. Like, I have no idea the plugin Sam is using when he's sitting at his computer, but I could be like, hey, I really like that bassy sound you just played. Let's frick with that for a minute. And it was just super fun. And it's just like no pressure. And it was just working on my songs. I mean, I could do it all day with them. It was the best.
Yeah, I think it's a huge advantage that maybe doesn't seem like it at first, that you guys all kind of were a little bit green going into this and could mm-hmm. feel like you were on equal footing. Because I've talked to, you know, on this podcast, I've talked to several musicians. A conversation I had with Isabel Walker comes to mind, where she was recording her first professionally produced album and feeling like so intimidated going in there, and like everybody does this all day every day, and it feels like when they give a suggestion it kind of is not a suggestion, or it's like hard to stick to your guns when you've got somebody who does this for a living and has worked with many, many musicians, and then tells you like, I don't know if I like your vision on this. Maybe we should go with mine. And sometimes that can be really hard to, you know, stick to your guns or hold your ground on your totally. Vision.
I know. And that's the biggest thing. I think the biggest takeaway of working us three together, my favorite part and why I want to continue to work with Sam and Van, is because there is absolutely no ego involved. You know, maybe Sam has more knowledge with guitar and production, and Sam and Van brings his arrangements to the table. But the thing is that we all have something to bring to the table, and we're all learning from each other. The no ego thing is huge to work with people your age. And the fact that we like each other and we're friends and we would, you know, I'd bring over pizza and beer also freaking helped, you know. We're not going, working at Ocean Way was dumb because it's Ocean Way, and we were like, we are unworthy to be in this studio. But it was also the most fun summer because we were in Ocean Way, just pals, not knowing what we were doing and figuring it out and like getting to use this cool equipment. But honestly, yes, the Ocean Way and the summer at Belmont recording experience, I'm so glad I've had it under my belt and that I was able to do it. But I mean, working in Sam's home studio, I liked more. I mean, it was just a way more creative palette for us to work in.
Yeah. So Sam, when mm-hmm. you're setting up that space, you know, the kind of quote that Allison gave American Songwriter really brought to mind this book called Creativity Inc. I don't know if any of you guys have read it, but it was mm-hmm. Ed Catmull. He was one of like the guys who really got Pixar going. And he was talking about how one of the biggest things they were trying to instill with like the team members when they were working on a movie for Pixar was this idea of candor. Like, everybody needs to be able to just say what they're thinking, whether they're high up, you know, they're a high position like a director or just somebody working on the crew. And I just wanted to know, Sam, like when you were setting up your studio and like setting up the environment with Van and Allison, like how you you know, kept it a space where everybody felt like they could say what they wanted to without it, without worrying that it was a dumb idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I think my general approach to studio work is it's not necessarily that it's my studio and you're in my studio and you're going to do things my way. And like, I may know what I have in terms of my palette, but it's my job to translate your ideas into that palette and then put them on a track and then make it a track. It's not my job to tell you that your ideas aren't working or something. It's my job to kind of show you if the idea isn't going to work, but then we're both kind of on even footing coming into that, right? So like, I think people get caught up in the ideas of a straight up yes or no right out of the gate. And there were instances where we did have that. And it was, I feel like we communicated that very well. But in the instances where there wasn't a clear yes or no, we had this idea of just like, let's try it. Let's put it in. If we don't like it, we'll take it out. That's one of the beauties of being able to work in a session like Ableton or something, where you're so flexible with what you can and can't do. I just think like my general idea is like, let's just not be afraid to try it. If it doesn't sound good, we take it out. Like, there's no tape lost. It's not like we're recording the tape like they used to. So you don't need to stress out right. about like accidentally using too many resources. I mean, worst case scenario, my external hard drive fills up a little bit, but I'm not too stressed about that.
Right.
I also think, and I came in kind of towards the end of the Ocean Way session timing. I want to give a big shout out to Hayden, who was the mixing engineer on the record, because she has the know-how. She's the one that knows how to compress and how to limit properly. I don't really know how to do that. I know how to do it for color. But she's the one that I feel like made everything that we just kind of threw out onto this project. She glued it all together and she put it all together. And so Allison, Van, and I were kind of on even footing in the studio, honestly. I was the one pressing the buttons most of the time. But it was the three of us trying to put together something. And then Hayden took it and translated it into like the professional sound, I guess is what I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of helped. Like we were the first step, and it wasn't like Allison and Van had an idea, so they elevated it to me, and then we eventually elevated it to Hayden. It was more like Allison, Van, and I all worked together to put an idea together, and then we passed it up to Hayden once it was ready. So I think that structure really helped.
Yeah, thanks for giving Hayden a shout out, because I freaking could talk about that gal all day. She, I mean, she and I met in an audio class, and we were two of four girls out of like 20 dudes. And I was super intimidated as a student to come into that class. You know, it's just a beginner's audio class. I think it was my junior year of college, and not feeling like, you know, I have no knowledge about this and I'm excited to learn, but super intimidated because all these guys are coming in and they're like, yeah, Logic and yeah, Beats. And Hayden was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to ask a million freaking questions and I'm always going to volunteer to push the buttons and help the professor. And I thought that was badass. And I was like, I need to be her friend. And she was the first one kind of in Belmont, in the Belmont community, to really like notice my songs. And I was always, I feel like up until that year in college, just like, yeah, I do this, you know, I do this with my friend Van from Chicago. It's just like my thing I do, but I'm not vocal about it. And Hayden kind of was the first one at Belmont to bring me into a studio, and Josh too, but, you know, and just do it for fun. And she was helping me produce demos at Belmont sessions just for fun, you know, 3 years ago now. And so to bring her in the Ocean Way setting, Sam's absolutely right. She was way more than just a mixing engineer. She was our person we turned to when we, you know, when we needed creative input as well. And she added so much to the Me Now EP as a whole.
Yeah. I know that I had read a lot about Hayden, just from some of the things that you had said up until this, you know, before this interview, and seemed just from the outside looking in, like she was a very big part of the EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to ask you about the title track, Me Now. So Allison, when the song is a little bit, ambiguous, like with the context of the phrase "me now." So, you get the idea that it was after a breakup, and you keep looking for the person that you used to be with, and then it's just you now. I was curious if when you wrote it, it meant something different to you then than it does now. Like when I hear it, maybe it's just my state of mind, but I think of like, okay, I'm on my own and I have to be okay with who I am, or, you know, like rely on myself. I was wondering if that was the same frame of mind that you were in when you wrote it, or if it was more like just the overwhelming feeling of being lonely. It's like, shit, like now all I've got is myself.
Yeah. Okay. Now listening to the song and performing the song and honestly reworking that song a year after I wrote it, definitely came into it with different meaning. It was, I feel like singing it and when I were able to perform it live, I wanted to be this kind of source of empowerment in a way of that I can like, you know, sing those lyrics and reflect now that, you know, I've done the work, I've put in the work to have my own back and this kind of self-empowerment song. You're absolutely right. When I wrote it, it was just feeling alone. I was sad. I was going through it. It was my senior year of college when we started working on the song in the studio. And when I brought it to Van, I mean, the amount of demos and different versions of each song we have on the EP, I think October has probably 15 demos. And I'm not even lying. Van and I, that's the vein of our existence is October. But yeah, no, it definitely was this, honestly, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. This person I want to invest in a relationship doesn't feel the same way. I'm super lonely. And it wasn't at the time, I don't think, this big self-empowerment song. I think you're absolutely right. It is kind of vague. It's like, okay, shit, I have me now. Let's figure out the next step. And while we were producing that, I was in the midst of figuring it out.
Sure. I'm sure there was like a lot of ice cream involved with the producing of that. It would have been for me.
Yeah. Wine, therapy, yeah. All of that stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure it would have been the same for me. Yeah. I think it was cool because you said it much better than I did. Like it does have like an empowering message to it. While at the same time, like, it could also be melancholy depending on the person who's listening to it or where that person is. And I thought that was just really well done.
Yeah. And I haven't announced this yet, but I did tell you I'm releasing an alternate version of the song on Friday that Van and Sam produced. I kind of threw it them like a couple weeks ago, last minute to Van. And I was like, I wanna make a different version of me now. I don't necessarily want it to be a ballad and like super melancholy, but I want it to be like the, what, Van, you were like, this should be the, what did you call it?
This is the wine drunk version.
The lo-fi, wine drunk sad boy version. Wine drunk version of the song. And it's coming out this Friday. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but there is a more melancholy version coming to that song.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See, there you go. Like, it'll give people the option to, you know, depending on where they're at, you know, if they're feeling empowered and like independent, there's one version for that. And if they're nursing a breakup, you know, if they're nursing a broken heart, there'll be another version for that. I think that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Nursing a wine bottle for sure. Yeah. Yep.
So, Van, when you're working on this, you know, the more melancholy version of it, what are you looking for? What's the big thing that's going to differentiate the sad version opposed to the empowering version?
Well, I wouldn't really say that it's a sad version. It's just kind of like, it's a little more of like a groovier version, a little more low key version. We made it a little more electronic sounding. The other one, it does have that empowering feel. This one just kind of has like a dancing alone in your living room kind of vibe. I don't know. It was kind of fun to revisit a song that we worked on so long ago and just kind of produce it like it's a totally different song. And I think that kind of speaks to the power of a good song. You can have two completely different versions of it that still are really powerful.
Yeah. So Sam, when you're looking at that same that same take. So you're trying to make the dancing alone in your house version of it. You know, to you, what do you think is what helps differentiate it from the first?
Yeah, well, I will say this is one that Van did in his studio, and he and Allison, I mean, really by the time I was involved on it, like, I feel like we talked about it on Tuesday, and by the time Wednesday came around, it was like the song was 70%. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was wild.
So I guess the only part I can really talk to is the guitars for me are very different. So when you take an approach on the guitar, like in the Me Now version that is currently out, you have a really nice, like, kind of up choppy type guitar sound. I think I even put like a VHS plugin on it to make it sound kind of retro almost.
Nice.
It's exciting. And it's got a term I really like is prosody, where if a song is feeling exciting, the instruments should also feel exciting, and they should be sliding up on the neck versus like a nice open chord or something. So I was going for that with the original Me Now. When it came to this new one, like I said, I kind of came into the room and all of a sudden I feel like the setting for the song had already been set up. So we did some guitar, and instead of doing it like, I think we did a mono track DI into an amp plugin I have. We actually just did this next one totally DI in stereo. I set my reverb on like 70, 80% wet, 20% dry. So it was a very different, like from the get-go, if I had even played the same part, it would have sounded completely different. So, and then we took it and we dropped it down, and I was playing lower chords and we were playing things that were a lot more open and strummy. And I think just in the nature of hearing each string played, you kind of get a more intimate feeling, and you get a more, not like, I was about to say the word depressive, but it's not depressive. You get a more like, I think intimate's the word. And that's kind of the big difference for me. You can hear in this new track that like every string is played, and every string is played with intentionality, versus maybe the original one where I'm kind of just strumming away and I'm like, heck yeah, I've got Me Now. Let me hit some chord, you know? So that was my approach. I think for Van, I mean, you can speak to this a little bit more, but like you guys worked off of that bass line that you kind of added, and then everything just came from there. I came in and it was like almost done.
Yeah, I think the bass is what really kicked it off, because we were kind of messing around with piano, whatever. It's like, we don't want it to be ballady and just, you know, the same song but slower and less instruments. I think what really caught my ear was like, it was kind of like almost a slap bass sound, but with a pick, you know, like the 80s kind of style. Like, I think the song that came to mind was, what's the Portlandia theme? You know, that really like that, like deep groovy, like
such a vibe.
Picked bass, like
Fred Astaire.
Yeah, that's kind of what kicked it off for us. And it's really a bass driven song, like that bass groove. I like what you said about the guitars. I think that's just right. Everything's really intentional, and it just kind of, it's just kind of like a wash, like a warm wash of sound that just kind of wraps around the song. And nothing moves too fast, you know. I just really like that.
Yeah, Allison. So what was the motivation for coming out with this version of the song? It's funny because in my mind, it kind of worked in reverse of how I would have imagined it happened naturally. Like if you were, you know, if you're going through the event or the breakup and this kind of sad feeling comes out of you, you would almost expect these songs, these versions of the song, to come out in the reverse order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's funny because when the original voice memo I have of Me Now that I wrote like 2 years before I actually released the song, I did always know that I didn't want it to be a ballad. Like I knew the original Me Now, I wanted it to be not even this song of empowerment, but I just wanted to hit freaking hard. And I told that to Van, and when we were demoing it first, it started on the piano and I was like, it just doesn't feel right, and I don't have the language or of how to describe what I want it to be. But I know I want it to hit harder because this, the lyrics and just the meaning, it just, it hit hard personally. And so I knew a ballad would translate what I wanted to say in that song. But then coming with this version, you're right. It's like, this would be because of the lyrics, and it's just has this undertone of melancholy already within it. You think it would be the first version, but again, I love a freaking ballad, but I just knew in my gut, I was like, I don't want to just make, you know, the Me Now stripped version and just release it. But I knew I wanted to make a different version, with a different undertone and different colors to work with, to kind of kind of close the chapter on the Me Now era, because truthfully, me and Sam and Van, we've been working on new songs before I even released the Me Now EP since this November. And I've been writing again. I've been so inspired to just, you know, write and create and work on new music. And I love this EP for so many reasons, but it's been a part of my life for the past 2.5 years, and I'm ready to close the chapter.
Sure.
And so making this song with Van, I kind of am with Sam. I came in and I was like, it's not going to be just the Me Now stripped version, because lame-o. I mean, I love when people do that, but I was like, let's just look at it with new lens. And honestly, Van hit the nail on the head, is that the expression, but he just, with the bass, I was like, yep, put some Juno on there, yep, it just like was different. It was, I mean, they're right, it's not this ballad, but it, I think the vocals really show the intimacy and the melancholy kind of feel of it, and why it makes it feel like a more intimate kind of, you're alone in your living room dancing wine drunk. It's because I sang this version with a such different intent, and it was way more emotional than what I sang. Like, it was kind of, I feel like I had this frustration just laying on my backbone when I sang the original version of Me Now, and that was kind of my mindset I was in. I was just kind of pissed off, you know, and I felt a little jaded, and that's the intention behind those vocals. But with this song, it was way more just, you know, intimate, vulnerable, emotional, and I think it comes through, and it's a really good balance of not being too sad and slow, but having a nice groove, but also feeling intimate.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I was saying earlier about how, like, maybe I would imagine it naturally happening in the reverse order might not be totally true, because I know a lot of times before you even feel like the actual sting of a breakup or a broken relationship, you are first like, I gotta win this fucking breakup. You know, like, I gotta look like I'm killing it right now. And then only later do you really feel like the, you know, the welling in your stomach and come to terms with how sad you actually are. Or at least that's been, you know, that's my, you know, high school take on it.
For sure.
We've got the heavy metal version coming up.
So that's really
2022. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up some of the writing that you've been doing post Me Now, because I wanted to ask you about your writing process. I know you had mentioned and you had said in American Songwriter that it's really like a, you know, it's emotionally driven writing. You know, your emotions kind of take the driver's seat when you're writing something, and that's where the lyrics come from. And I think you were saying that the song Mustangs was kind of like a stream of consciousness. And it just all came out, and then later you arranged it into a song. So when you don't have, you know, some kind of negative experience in your life at the time, you know, that's charging your emotions, that's leading to the writing, what do you draw your creativity from?
That's a very good question. And it's equally frustrating, because I've been going through this myself, just like, because I'm such an emotionally driven, intuitive person, like I'm just live and breathe emotions all the time. and I feel all the things, but it's been frustrating because my writing process isn't necessarily diplomatic or disciplined, in the sense that I sit down with a pen and paper. I'm like, I'm going to write a damn song. It's like, no, I feel it in my bones and I have to get this out, which is awesome. But at this same time frustrating because you have to search for inspiration sometimes when I'm not going through this massive, you know, breakup and pain and personal hardship or whatever. But I will say, you know, I've been in this long distance relationship and this serious relationship for over a year now. And it's kind of the first time that I've looked at writing about things that aren't sad breakup songs in a different light. And it's been a good challenge to write things about, you know, mostly just like, I feel like these new songs are little vignettes of kind of what I was going through in 2020 of just the craziness of the world, but like the beauty of how simple it was to be with this person because we didn't have to be long distance because I could work from home and work anywhere. And we got to, you know, go and drive 20 hours up to northern Minnesota and spend a month there and be creative there. And I just, I feel like I was writing less about these big, you know, heartbreak moments or these big moments in life. And I'm starting to write about the simple things, even like even this negative song that I have, like called Silver Sedan, that I'm super excited to release. It's literally about our first fight, and it's when I thought I was being murdered by a man in a silver sedan. And there's some sarcastic undertone to it too. Yeah, but it's like
just move on by, note out of context.
Oh my god! Well, I feel like that's the message behind the Silver Sedan song. I can't wait to share whenever we do release it because Van was there that night. Anyways. We could talk about it. We don't have to, but I'm just writing about simple things now and like the little things in life. And it's definitely exercising a different creative bone in my body when you don't have just this apparent struggle you're going through. And it's so easy to write about, but.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do want to continue this, this line of conversation, but I feel like it would be a huge missed opportunity if we didn't just kind of backtrack a little bit here to find out what is going on with the murder. Yeah.
Okay. So it was last February, Jake, and I had a house show, and honestly, it's pretty sad to think about because it was the last, it was 2020, February 2020, last.
Oh yeah. Looking back.
Yeah, last time of normalcy that I can remember, like going to Whole Foods maskless, like what is that?
Yeah, different world.
But it was, I think, the weekend after Valentine's Day weekend, maybe. But Van and his girlfriend Leah, and they were still living in Chicago at the time. They came to visit for a house show we were having. Sam played at the house show. You know, my boyfriend was playing, and we were all me, Van, and Leah, and my boyfriend after the house show. Everyone had gone home for the night. We were just in my living room talking about the night, catching up. It was probably midnight or 1 a.m. by this point.
Oh, perfect time for a murder.
Perfect time for a murder. And because it was a house show and it was an open house, like people were coming and going all night. And so I had my side door, which is the door people entered in all night, unlocked still. And I hadn't locked it up. Because it was an open house. And I didn't think, I'm like in the suburbs of Nashville. I was like, it's all fine. And we're just talking in the living room. And I hear the front door or the side door slam shut. And immediately Van is like going for the taser and grabbing a knife. And I am right behind him. And I'm like, let's check this out. What the hell was that? Like, we were in the living room. No one had been in my house other than us for like 30 to 40 minutes. And this kitchen door slammed shut. And we're like, that's creepy as fuck. And so my boyfriend, love him to death, but he was like, guys, it's not, you're being over dramatic. This is not a murder. And me and Van were like, dude,
this is not a murder.
Yeah, get off our back. This definitely could be someone like coming in.
Yeah, the murderer in the kitchen. Definitely not a murderer.
And basically Van just like went to the kitchen door and saw this creepy ass silver sedan pull out of my driveway with the headlights on. And then we like kept watching it and it like circled the block one or two times. Van and I definitely were freaking out. And
it's pretty sus.
My boyfriend was like making a joke out of it. So that's basically the song. It's just like, how can you laugh at me while I'm going through this mental breakdown? It's just a sarcastic song, but we didn't get murdered. Obviously, we're here. I don't like silver sedans for that reason. Yeah. And that's the story.
I can imagine.
Allison, you're slowly building up a bunch of cars that you just don't like.
I know. It's so lame. Mustang, silver sedans.
What's next?
Subaru. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It could have been Tom Brady. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
There was a story. It happened at the beginning of the football season, but I had something popped up or somebody sent me a link after he won the Super Bowl of this guy, like the local Tampa news, this guy talking about how he was in his kitchen. And all of a sudden there was this, like, the front door, the handle started to jiggle. Jesus. And he's like, what's going on? He's got his, like, knife in his hand. And then the door opens and this tall man walks in with, like, two duffel bags over his shoulder. And it's Tom Brady. And he drops – Tom Brady drops the duffel bags. He's like, what's up? And then the guy's like, I don't know what's going on. And turns out it was just Tom Brady at the wrong house. He just walked into the room. He meant to go to, like, his offensive coordinator next door and ended up just doing a B&E.
Maybe it was Tom Brady. I don't know.
It could have been. Yeah. It could have been.
I should add that to the song.
Yeah. Yeah. Another verse.
Yeah.
No, but that's crazy. I've had a couple moments like that where you really think it, like, convince yourself it's nothing, and then it ends up being something like that, like a silver sedan. It's crazy. It shakes you a little bit.
Totally. Makes you stronger, right?
For sure. For sure. So I guess back to what you were saying about the writing. And how you kind of use, like, a stream of consciousness, or you are emotionally driven. So when you look into the future, obviously life won't ever be completely devoid of problems. But mm-hmm. have you thought about what you might do when things are kind of going your way? You know, if you get, like, a 6-month period where life is just great.
And that's kind of where of course, like, this year is still coming off the back of 2020, and there's a lot of people going through it, including myself mentally, but for the most part, I do feel like, comparatively from where I started with writing the Me Now EP, I'm in a really good space mentally. And so I've been writing about things other than love. Like, I'm writing this song right now that pays tribute to my aunt who passed away from cancer when I was in high school. And it's not this sad folk song about losing her. I wanted a song to capture her spirit and her aura and exactly how I remembered her, so I can always remember, like, the insane fun energy she was as a human. Because as I'm meeting new people personally in my life, like my boyfriend, and he'll never be able to meet her and experience her, and I can, you know, tell stories about her and yada yada yada, but it's really, I think, another art form to pay tribute to someone without just making it a sad, like, you know, I mean, of course, beautiful grief songs of grief are amazing in their own right, but I really wanted this song where people listen to it and be like, oh, that just screams Adrian. That feels like Adrian. That feels like her laugh. And that's kind of, I'm still writing it. And I'm actually talking to my cousins, her daughters, via Zoom. I've never had to do research for a song. But because this is not a song about my own life and heartbreak, I caved, and I'm proud of myself for doing it, but I reached out. I was super nervous to my cousins, who are more like sisters. And I was like, listen, I'm writing this song about your mom. It's not a sad song, and I need to do my damn research, and I want stories about her life and stories from your childhood if you're comfortable with it. And they were like, you're asking us to, like, drink wine on a Zoom and talk about her mom. We fucking love it. Like, so we're going to do that later this month. And it's just supposed to be almost more of a song celebration. So to kind of answer your question, I'm trying currently right now to think outside of the box of other things in life I can write about that aren't just heartbreak in my own life. And it's challenging as hell, but I'm glad I'm doing it, and it's gonna take time, but I'm working on it.
I'm curious, for Van and Sam, do you find that your working process is similar to Allison's, or is it different?
Van, I'd say you're probably the closest, so you take this one.
Sure. Like, closest as in
proximity.
You write songs.
I mean, in terms of writing, yeah, I tend to write. I mean, so I don't do it a lot. It's it's kind of odd when you have a hobby that's also what you want to pursue as a career. Like, just music is all encompassing. So my hobby is songwriting. So I definitely don't do the volume.
Okay,
that
but you
she
literally
does.
Have a song coming out this Friday, which I'll plug later. But that, keep going.
That's Georgia, right?
Yeah, yes,
I'm surprised Jake.
You
knew
yes.
that, Jake. However. Yeah. So,
it's
not, but
from I, what I heard of it, it was very good. We're excited to hear it.
Thanks, man. But yeah, I do tend to write from experience. But in terms of production, I really like the story aspect, and I like being able to. It's so important. To shape the environment properly, because it's like these are stories that you are trusting with a producer, and most people only produce a song once. And so my favorite thing is just trying to find the right tones and textures to properly house this song forever. I mean, that's just super magical. So I'm not sure how that compares to Allison's writing process, but when she brings a song that's about you know, her aunt per se, you know, she would be like, oh, this isn't supposed to be a sad song, this is supposed to, you know, celebrate this person's life, so you want the track to mirror that. So that's kind of my process, I guess. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was thinking, like, in terms of also, like, just workflow, like, from a logistical perspective. I know naturally I'm similar to Allison, where I just, you know, I used to ride the highs and lows. I've tried really hard not to be driven completely by emotion, just because I'm not in at the creative field in the same aspect you are, Allison. I see that as a major benefit if you can harness it. For me, I'm just living, and so just, you know, being wildly emotional is not paid off. You know, with my partner, with like how we work together, he's very regimented and things like that, so it helps balance us out. And I was wondering if that's similar, or if you guys were all kind of on the same page and find a way to make that work as well.
Well, I think you find ways to tap into the emotions that you need. I think the more that you do it, instead of being reliant on, am I feeling creative right now, you find different things that help you to get creative when you need to be. So I think that's at least something that I try to bring to the table, you know, because there are definitely days where you're like, I'm not feeling it today. I just want to lay in bed. But there's definitely like little cheat codes you have that'll kind of spark up your creativity. So I'd be interested to hear what you do, Sam, to be so chipper all the time.
I'm not chipper all the time. this is actually one thing that I think my college education benefited for me. That was a horrible sentence. Obviously, sentence structure was not one of them.
Clearly a music major.
Yeah. Basically, so UVA as a school, the faculty is amazing, but they focus really hard on like art music. So artists like Steve Reich and Brian Eno were day one topics in a lot of the studio classes I took. And one of the things that really stuck with me was Brian Eno's studio as composer writings. Basically, his whole thing, and it kind of goes back to that palette I mentioned earlier, where like really what I'm doing when I'm producing someone, when someone comes in and they have their emotions lined up and they're presenting me something that is emotionally significant to them, what I'm doing is just composing that into a song. And I take, like, for instance, I really like Valhalla plugins. I have Valhalla Ubermod, which I think is all over the Me Now EP. And I find that to be really inspiring. Just, I can throw that on anything and it sounds awesome. It's full of emotion to me, just the way that I'm able to work with it and make it sound. And I think really what my role is taking, Allison comes in, she has a song that's about heartbreak. I feel like I can use my tools to take that and communicate heartbreak through a reverb sound, which sounds crazy, but I think that's a lot of things that like Brian Eno and the ambient music producers really tried to get going from an early decade, is like these sounds are technically like a sine wave with a little bit of reverb and delay on it. But what does that like speak to you emotionally with? And I think that's kind of where modern day production can kind of come in. Just rambled a lot about that, but I think one concrete example would be there's this noise in the beginning of the Me Now record that's currently out, that it's like a scream. And I think that's what we have it labeled as almost in the song. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the first few bars, it's a little filtered and you've got this, like, I'm not even going to try to do it, but it sounds like a scream, but it's tonal and it fits in the song. I feel like that is Allison saying like, this is a song that I want to shout out to the rooftops. Compared to the upcoming lo-fi wine drunk sad boy version, that version kind of starts with almost a dial tone sound to me. Van, correct me if I'm not sure what you consider it.
Yeah, that was actually
like a do 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 do.
Yeah, that was actually exactly kind of the inspiration for that. Just kind of like a drone, like kind of telephone off the receiver kind of sound.
And to me, that calls to mind like drunkenly calling your ex at 2 a.m. or like just dialing their number into your phone and then hitting exit. You know, that's a very different feeling than that scream sound I was talking about. So if I had to say anything about like translating emotion, it would be just finding sounds that immediately put the listener in a certain space and being able to do that kind of right out of the gate. I mean, we do it on Mustangs as well. We have this big guitar swell with a lot of tremolo
that
kind of sounds like a car engine revving, and then it slowly passes you by and it kind of fades into the abyss. And that's kind of what the song is about. Correct me if I'm wrong, Allison.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
All these memories that are slowly kind of coming
nailing
back
it.
To mind.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Sam, here's a question. So I think this is interesting.
Are you doing the interviewer?
I am interviewing you. Sorry,
so
Jake.
Sorry.
No, man. Take it over.
So I think it was really interesting is sometimes you look back on a song and you're like, wow, that sounds like a certain thing and that, you know, evokes a certain emotion and I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Was that Mustang thing intentionally supposed to sound like an engine revving, or was that something you were like, oh, it sounds good. Oh, this is probably where I got that from.
I mean, Allison, you were in the room. I remember it being the case, but that might just be my ego telling me I could predict the future. I remember thinking like we needed an intro, and I was really into guitar swells at the time, and I had just gotten a new tremolo pedal. So we just like put a lot of tremolo on and tried to make it sound like an engine. That's kind of my story, but again, rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, I just remember you recording like the guitar part. And it was the first time we worked together. And I was like, this sounds like the DNA of my songs. And yes, I love everything he's putting down. And so I don't know if your intent was a car engine, badass dude, but like your guitar skills really show on that song. And I love it.
You know, for the sake of the listeners, it was my intention. That was.
Well, I know. I don't mean to degrade your artistic vision. I just think that's so crazy. Sometimes you do things subconsciously and you're like, wow, that actually sounds like this certain thing in the song.
Yeah.
Well, another instance that's kind of similar, and I don't know how you guys feel about this decision in post, but at the end of Me Now, as is out right now, we have a lot of harmonies throughout that song, and we have a lot of kind of gang vocals almost. We even did some whisper tracks, which are fun. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when Allison goes up to whatever that B or whatever is, it's just her vocal and the instruments. And we made that decision on purpose. I don't know if you guys remember the studio, but we were like, should we have a big choir? And we were like, no, let's make it just her voice poking through with the drums, guitar, bass, synths. And that'll have more of an impact than, you know, a giant choir all singing Me Now, because that doesn't really make sense.
Totally.
I think that was kind of a moment that stuck with me for a while.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I remember that. Yeah. Wow, I really added to that conversation.
Sorry, Jake. I thought that was interesting, the point we stumbled on there.
No, I think it's great. And I like what you said there, Sam, about how, you know, maybe the choir didn't really best represent kind of the theme of the song. You know, if the theme of the song is like, I'm on my own or I'm independent, then yeah. a choir doesn't necessarily represent that very well.
Totally.
And Allison, I hope I didn't accuse you of being wildly emotional. Least I hope you didn't feel that way.
Didn't feel that way at all. I am who I am, and I get it from my dad. We are cut from the same cloth, and honestly, I used to be super insecure of a sensitive creature I am, an emotional creature, but I mean, now I've learned through therapy and through just growing up in my 20s is that there is a lot of advantage of being able to tap into your emotions easily. So to answer your question, no, I was not offended.
Okay,
I didn't
good.
Think twice right. about it.
I'm glad you weren't offended. I was only relating it to my own experience where I used to really rely, you know, on my emotions, sometimes to a benefit and sometimes not. Like I used to be somebody who was really about passion. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I just want to be passionate. If I'm not passionate about it, forget it. I would rely on passion and try to get amped up for stuff. Yeah. And if I couldn't, then whatever, I just kind of let it die on the vine.
Definitely feel like while I am this emotional creature and I definitely, yes, passion, it gets me going. But at the same time, I mean, I know this sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but I have this insane work ethic when it comes. I think it's just being a student and being academia for so long. And I was on the speech team in college. And because of my day job doing PR, most of me in my day to day is not just like following my passion and not seeing things through. It's like, keep your head down, work hard, get shit done. And then outside of work, it's like, okay, it's just a release. I could just, you know, follow the inclination of like how I'm feeling in the moment. But because I've had to just keep my head down and like I have responsibilities outside of just music, I think that's also helped me now within my writing, especially with this new music of like, okay, Allison, you're not feeling quite inspired in the moment, but do some research. Like, it's okay. You don't have to write this song this week, this day. Take your time with it. And I think that just comes from my professional work outside of music, which helps. It's a good balance.
Right. I think that's so important to have too, because when you have like an understanding of like doing the work, and I know the listeners of this podcast probably roll their eyes every time I bring up Stephen Pressfield because it happens all the time. But Stephen Pressfield wrote The War of Art. Yeah, The War of Art. I always feel like I'm mixing that up with the Sun Tzu book. But he wrote The War of Art, and with the premise being like, you know, sometimes like passion is not going to be enough, and you just got to like show up every day, and then eventually the muse, you know, will visit you if you're there. But totally. If you're not there, you know, and you rely on the muse just to come every now and then, and you only work in those times, then you're missing a huge percentage of the times that the muse may visit.
Totally. And that's really helped, like bringing back to working with Van and our different personalities. Van literally schedules his days like the minute by minute, like hour by hour.
It's amazing.
That's out of necessity.
That's out of necessity.
That's like ADHD brain trying to be reined in.
I hear you, dude.
Yeah, that's super. I mean, that's a great friend to have in your life who's like, no, you better show up to this. We just had this conversation last week, Van. Like when people flake on you. I feel like it is a lot of artistic, creative minds who don't keep tight schedules. Like, thank gosh I'm in PR and thank gosh I'm friends with Van, because I know the importance of showing up where you're expected to show up. And if you have a session booked at 7 p.m., you're not feeling inspired that day, hey man, you still got to show up because someone else is relying on you in the room.
Well, that's the importance of that balance you're talking about. I think it's like, it's one thing to have passion for something, but mm-hmm. when you want to transition that thing you're passionate about into something you do, hopefully for a living, mm-hmm. there's going to be times, you know, where you go to work and you're like, I don't necessarily want to do this, but I have to do something, you know,
totally.
And it's difficult when you're in an artistic field, you know, to, if you're not feeling passionate about it, sometimes you still have to, just do it. And mm-hmm. but not every day is like that. But if it's something you want to do all the time, then there's going to be days like that. So you have to find ways around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Van, you had mentioned a little bit earlier that you had some like workarounds for when you're not feeling it. Does something come to mind as like a trick that you use to keep yourself going?
Mine is usually just blind optimism. Just like if I'm feeling down, I'll just be like, man, how lucky am I to just be able to, you know, create these sounds. I'm just so thankful to be in my own studio making music. Usually that does the trick, you know, a little bit of gratitude, as cheesy as that sounds, usually gets me back on track.
Sure.
From the doom and gloom. Other than that, it's from a technical perspective, I'll like lean into this sounds really odd, but like I'll lean into certain chords and intervals that have always resonated with me and that I tend to really like, which sounds psychotic, but that also kind of gets me back into the flow a little bit, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just like whatever works for you. Everybody's different, you know? I mean, if you got to like clip your toenails for 5 minutes, so, you know, if that's what works, that's what works, you know?
Whatever you imagine that is. Do you know someone that works for?
Have you tried it, Jake?
For 5 minutes? I mean, I guess that's like a really mindful. Flavor, you really, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a go. I'll see. And I'll get back to you and let you know if that worked for me. If that's the thing that's been missing, you know, that's going to be what puts me over the top.
Well, I think the overarching summary is just like, you have to be really in tune with your own brain and you have to be honest. Like, I know if I don't write everything down, I'm going to forget everything. Like, right. That's just the truth about me. So that's what you have to remember. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, but you got to find workarounds for your quote issues.
I'm the same way. If I don't write stuff down, like no matter how much I think I've got it, like when my fiance leaves and like, hey, can you please just switch over the laundry? I'm like, definitely I'm going to do that. Like, there's no way I'll forget. And then she'll like call me and be like, hey, I'm on my way home. I'm like, holy shit. How did 12 hours go by? Did I not remember to switch over the laundry? But if I write it down, it gets done. But otherwise, I mean, it's just, you're just, you know, spitting into the wind. But all right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. This has been such a nice conversation.
Yeah, it's been so fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And then is there anything that you guys want to plug before I let you go? I know you said you've got the new single coming out, or the updated single.
Yeah, Me Now, it's called the Me Now Delete His Number version. It's coming out Friday, February 12th. Van's single Georgia, which is awesome, is coming out the 12th as well. Sam probably doesn't want me to plug this, but Sam is an amazing writer in his own right. And his stuff is on the internet.
Check it
out. Sticks and Stones are my favorite. And his album is awesome. And also, Van and I just started a TikTok literally last night. So please follow us.
No, I didn't know that.
I hate it. We don't know what we're doing, but
TikTok's wild. I got like 50 views and 0 new followers. I don't know how I feel about TikTok.
It's the Wild West, man. Be careful out there.
But I guess all I want to plug is like, if you are an independent artist looking to get your music produced, Sam and Van, reach out to them. Follow them on social media. They work remotely. They're the easiest guys to work with. And that's all I want to say. That's it.
I mean, this is all about Allison here, and I feel like it's hard for her to say, but as with any independent artist, anyone following her or saving her album on Spotify, that kind of thing. I mean, most listeners to podcasts like this will know, but do what you can to support artists who are releasing things at the regular schedule that Allison is, and also kind of taking the independent approach. So get out there, save her playlist, save her album. That kind of thing goes a really long way. So that's my pitch for Allison.
Thank you, Sam.
Well, yeah.
Mahal,
and it's
Mahal. Allison Mahal.
But yeah, no, it's really good stuff. And, you know, she pours her whole heart into this stuff, and that's why we work with her, because I enjoy the stories, and she's really putting herself out there. So
yeah,
I would definitely recommend a listen or 12.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Excellent. So the EP Me Now is available on Spotify now. And by the time this comes out, your single will be on there as well. So Sam, Van, Allison, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Jake. Yeah, thanks, it was a pleasure. It was super fun.
All right. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Sam, Van, and Allison for coming on the show. We were graced with the new single we had been talking so much about during this episode, the alternative delete his number version of Me Now, which is going to play out at the end of this episode. So stick around. If you want to learn more about what we're doing at Setlist, you can head to our website. It's setlist.community. And you're going to find all of our blog posts, our previous podcast, and our merchandise there. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We really appreciate it and helps us out a lot. Thanks for sticking around to the end. As promised, playing us out is Me Now by Allison Mahal. Every night this week, thinking you were there, lying next to me. And when the dreams fade, don't I remind myself, all I hear is me now, me now. Hey, girl. Around my neck, grabbing my head, constantly feeling like a burden to you. Now was I confused? Oh no, and my selected memory is only remembering you and I, July. Thank you.